Today on Real Radio.
We need to get real mature and serious about this issue because people will say, well, you know what? My friend went forward 10 years ago to Billy Graham crusade. He never did go to church, never read his Bible. There was never really change in his life. But I know he's in heaven today. How do you know that?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his topical series called How Do We Get From Here to Heaven? If there were a short list of soul-searching questions, how do we get from here to heaven? It has to rank somewhere in the top five, wouldn't you say? Why? Well, simple. We're all going to face death at some point, should the Lord tarry. In fact, this is just one reason why Pastor Jack has decided to make this an extended topical series. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs continuing his series called How Do We Get From Here to Heaven?
What are you and I saved from? Yeah, why did I need to accept Jesus anyway? What's the big deal? Well, this is a huge question with a bigger answer. Well, obviously, we're saved from hell. And that right there is enough. According to the Bible, for those who will be close to that period of time, the Bible promises that those believers will be saved from the great tribulation period. That's promised in Scripture. Saved from damnation. Saved from condemnation. Saved from judgment. Saved from sin, evil, Satan. In one word, you could say death. All of those things accompany death, which is a good reason why in Hebrews 2:14, this is a great verse in Hebrews 2:14 and 15, it says, since the children have flesh, I love this. Listen to the tenderness of this. Since the children have flesh and blood, he also shared in our humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free all those who are all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. And I want to talk about that for a second. What am I saved from? All that stuff and more, but let's just put it all in one bucket called death. Jesus died in our place to take our judgment. You need to understand that. What am I saved from? The judgment of God. Did you know that if you're a believer tonight, God is not ever going to look at you and say, or scowl when he looks at you? He's not going to, man, you should be glad you're here, Jack. You barely got in. He's not like that. He's not of that spirit. In fact, if he were to do that, it would insult the very person of Jesus. That's how cool it is. It will not happen because, first of all, it can't. But even if it could, it wouldn't because it would be the Father insulting the work of the Son. But the Father said, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. And that's my Savior. That's my Lord. That's my King. That's my God. So what are we saved from? I love it. In a nutshell, death. And you say, what, are you not going to die? Oh, no, I'm going to die. But here's the cool thing. In fact, I got to tell you, you're going to say, man, you're crazy. And I probably am. But here's the thing. Have you ever thought you were going to die? Have you ever been in that where it's like, this is it? Maybe it was an accident. Maybe you were sick. Maybe you're in the hospital. Maybe something happened. When you're really convinced you're going to die, if you haven't been there, you got to be there someday. It's really amazing. As a Christian, it's pretty awesome. As a non-Christian, I don't know. But as a Christian, it's pretty awesome. When you actually are convinced, are you pretty sure this is it? I'm checking out. Here's an amazing thing. There is a peace that comes over you that is not of this world. People around you are going around, oh, get more IV, get this, get the defibrillators or whatever. You're like, it is well, it is well. It is well with my soul. And I'm telling you, even if you're not on the brink of death because you don't know, but you're like, you think you are, and you're going out or whatever. It's like, oh my goodness, this is it? This is it? And you say, why that's important? Why is that so important? Because the moment, according to the Bible, the moment you go, okay? You go like this. It's like, hello! You go like, you know, 10 more cc's, and then holy, holy Lord God Almighty. You hear angels, you see them around the throne. What? Where was I? Why? How do you know? What makes you choose your pastor? Because the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. How fast is a blink like that? Man, the moment, listen, Jesus died to take you from that moment into his presence. And if you're not a Christian, good luck. Wow. Jesus died in our place so that we would not experience the judgment of death. Listen to this. What do you think this means? Psalm 23, verse 4. Psalm 23, verse 4. Yes, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. If you're with him and you are dying, he takes your hand and he says, hey, let's walk through that door over there. Let's go. And he just walks us through. You're with me. He's with me. He has promised to be with me. And look at this. It's kind of cool. We walk through the valley of the shadow of death. No gurney, no wheelchair. We walk through the valley of the shadow. It's not even death. It's the shadow of death. What do you do when the shadows are around? Turn on the light. I love it. G. Campbell Morgan goes on to say, Scripture in no uncertain terms teaches that a day of judgment will come for all mankind. It will be a day where all human beings will have to stand in the presence of God to be held accountable for the life that they lived. For many, this will be a dark day of gloom and darkness. It will be a day when the wrath of God will be poured out on the unbelieving, referred to in Scripture as the unbelieving, wicked, and disobedient. This day of wrath will be the greatest calamity in human history. Its terror and destruction will be beyond imagination. To be delivered from such a day is the ultimate salvation. It is Jesus Christ in his role as Savior who rescues all who put their trust in him against this day of God's wrath. What an awesome statement that is. 2 Peter 2:9 says, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. You don't want to be there. Salvation gets us through that. Revelation 20, verse 12. John says, I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. This is the unsaved, the lost, dead. Standing before God. And the books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which are written in the books. The sea gave up the dead that are in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead who are in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Revelation chapter 20, you guys, you want to read it to know through Jesus and by Jesus how to escape that horrible chapter of the Bible. Revelation chapter 20 is about those whose names are not written down in the Lamb's book of life. I don't want to get too sidetracked, but I think it's important. If you were with us in the Book of Revelation series, you already know what I'm going to say already. I think you're ahead of me on this one. You might say tonight, now wait a minute, doesn't the Bible say that I can get my name blotted out of the book? Yes, it does. Okay then, I can lose my salvation. We'll talk more about that next week. Check this out. The Bible says that every person, their names are found written in the Book of Life. Everyone. Even up to Revelation chapter 20, the book of life is opened, and all those who've ever had life, Adolf Hitler, Ronald Reagan, you and I, Charlie Manson, Mussolini, they're all written there. Everyone's name's there. And God opens up the book. Now watch this. It's amazing. Because there's the book of life, and then the Bible talks about another book. the Lamb's book of life. Amen. And here's the cool thing. We know from Scripture that you can get, or a person can get, their name removed out of the book of life. If your name is removed from the book of life, you are going to hell. So the deal is to not get your name removed from the book of life. In Revelation 20, after these people are judged, their name is removed from the book of life after their judgment. Watch this. All those who put their faith in Jesus Christ, class, are you listening? Yes. All those who put their faith in Jesus, God takes his big Mac Pro book or whatever he's got up there, and he highlights your name in the book of life. You with me? Book of life. He highlights it. Apple copy. Goes over to the Lamb's book of life and puts Apple paste. Copy. He pastes it there. Your name appears in the book of life and in the Lamb's book of life. A person who doesn't accept Christ, their name appears in the book of life, but it never made it over to the Lamb's book of life. So that when, in the end, the Lord opens up the book, as it were, for those in heaven, all of their names appear in the Lamb's book of life. You say, what about my boss who didn't accept Christ? Will I be crying my head off in heaven because he didn't make it? His name's not in the book. It's as though he never existed on your side. Everyone's name is found in the book of life. Then what we need to do, what you need to do tonight, if this applies to you, is to make sure your name is in the Lamb's book of life. Well, how do I do that? Well, because God gave you life, you need to take that life and hand it over to the Son, the Lamb of God, and it's written. And that there is beautifully no reference ever in Scripture of your name being blotted out of the Lamb's book of life. So if your name is in the Lamb's book of life, it cannot be blotted out of the book of life. But if your name is not in the Lamb's book of life, then you're in deep trouble. You need Jesus more than you think. Can you imagine standing there? Have you ever pulled up? You ever been to a hotel? Walk up there. Man, it's late. You've been driving all night. Walk up to the counter. Last name, it's Hibbs, H-I-B-B-S. I'm sorry, what is it? Gibbs? Gibbs? Bibbs? What is it? Hibbs, H. How about Jack? How about tired? It's got to be there. I'm sorry, it's not here. Can you imagine? His name's not here. Wow. Sorry, heaven, name, it's not here. Can you imagine? People are hearing that. It's not here. It must have been some sort of mistake. No, there's no mistake. We have perfect records up here. Some kind of glitch. No, looks like somebody, you, mister, didn't get your name put in the book. Serious stuff. When we talk about losing our salvation, we'll look at this in more depth next week and the weeks ahead, but you have to understand something here, and we'll get into it. There are people who say they're Christians, and it's not our business to judge anybody. We are only commanded in Scripture to be inspectors, right? Evaluators of a life. None of us have the authority to judge anybody. We are blind at best. When somebody says, well, you know what, that guy, he went forward and this and that, but I don't think he's a Christian or whatever. We don't know for sure, but we can tell by fruit. There's no doubt about that, and we're commanded to do so. We need to get real mature and serious about this issue, because people will say, well, you know what, my friend went forward 10 years ago to Billy Graham crusade. He never did go to church, never read his Bible. There was never really change in his life. But I know he's in heaven today. How do you know that? The fact is, you want to believe that. You have no evidence that he's there. It's possible he's there. But when it comes to fruit, there's no fruit whatsoever. With that, we leave in the hands of God, church. That we leave in the hands of God. But concerning your own life, as you being the discerner and the judge of your own life, you cannot assume nothing. I cannot assume anything. I cannot, with all authority, I cannot say anything regarding any of you about your position with Christ with an absolute certainty. But I can speak regarding myself. Doesn't the scripture say that we are to judge ourselves and to determine whether we are in the faith or not? Watch this. A true believer in Christ, someone who's born again, who's on their way to heaven, takes that very seriously. Those who are not en route, or at least are severely backslidden in their walk with God, they don't care about that. They fall asleep when they hear verses like that. When we say, I'm a Christian, I go to church, I this, I that, whatever, whatever's going on, and then, listen, we'll get into it good next week together. When a person with all, in fact, they could even have miracles going on in their life. Didn't Jesus say in Matthew chapter 7, there'll be those who've cast out demons in his name, and in the end, he's going to turn to them and say, I don't even know who you are. You say, Jack, are you kidding me? The Bible says that? Yeah, it's Matthew 7, 20 and 21, 22. You got to be careful, though. If you perform miracles, it doesn't mean you're going to hell. And if you perform miracles, it doesn't mean you're going to heaven. You see, we get all swept up with that stuff. Ooh, we get starstruck really easy. Ooh, wow. Because we will try to comfort ourselves by saying, yeah, you know what? He raised his hand, or he prayed the prayer, and there was never any change. But I really know he's in heaven. I hope so. But you guys, we attribute salvation to people very readily. We're very generous that way. And sometimes it's not always true. And so can a person lose their salvation? Can a person be saved and then lose it according to the Bible? Well, I can show you in the Bible where the Bible teaches that once a person is regenerated, there is no scripture in the Bible that says they are unregenerated. And because of sloppy Bible study and denominational persuasions and influences, we get off track. In fact, next week we'll get to some scriptures where remember how Amir said your socks are going to blow off? We're going to talk about things, how saved can you be? What kind of nature is it within a person who's really been born again, that is the Spirit of God has stepped inside of them? Remember, once he steps inside of that person, he will never leave. The question is, has he stepped inside of you? You say, well, I believe in God. Listen, shockaroony, here it comes. The Bible says Satan believes in God, and he trembles when he thinks about God. Where's Satan going? In fact, the word in Greek is goose flesh, goose skin. You ever seen a naked turkey before you put it in the oven? You ever seen those lumps on it? That's the word in Greek. Satan's poking the coals of hell, pushing people around. Hey, you big nincompoop, what a dummy. Should have believed in Jesus. Ha ha, what a loser. And then he thinks about God. He gets all funny skin. He's terrified. And he's not going to heaven. How many humans think about God and get all terrified? I don't know if I've ever seen it. If you believe in God, that is nothing. Your belief in God has to take you to faith. You're not saved by belief. You're saved by faith in what he's done for you. I have read so much about George Washington in his life, I feel like I know him. And it's really fun to read somebody else's mail. He's dead, and I feel like I know him. I even ate a meal in Virginia, because he's a Virginian. I went to Virginia and I ordered George Washington's meal. It was at a tavern where he used to plan his covert operations in Alexandria. They have a menu. George Washington's favorite meal was this. And by the way, it's historically accurate. I looked it up. And I ate it. Made me sick. It was horrible. Pork and cabbage, that's kind of cool. That's good. But the way they ate it, no way. And then peanut butter. They took peanut butter, mashed it up, and they boiled it. And he loved peanut butter soup. I'm telling you, it's so bad. And I love peanut butter. See, what's your point? I've been to his house. I've seen his bed. I've seen his carriage. You name it. Okay? I believe in George Washington, but I'm not trusting, or I don't have faith in George Washington regarding my nationality. My citizenship, I'm American. U.S. The founder of the country was George. I believe in him, but I'm not looking to him to keep my citizenship. You can believe in Jesus accurately and get an A on the test. But if you live your life not trusting in him in the sense of faith, you simply believe in him like any other historical figure that has ever existed. But you're not leaning on him in faith for your salvation. And the church today is full of people, perhaps more now than ever before, that believe in Jesus. That's why I believe we need to start thinking critically and start asking ourselves and people, Jesus, who? Which one? What do you mean you believe in Jesus? Start asking people. You say, well, I can't do that. I might offend somebody. What do you mean? You might push them into heaven? Is that what you mean? Because right now they might be very deluded by this weak, apathetic church age that you and I live in. This is a serious time you and I live in. Everybody's going to church, but very few people live any differently. A lot of people going to church, but America's going down the hole. What's going on? Do you personally know?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson that answers the question, how do we get from here to heaven? In fact, what we heard today is the last in the series. Now, on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio, I'm going to sit down with Pastor Jack for a one-on-one to talk about what's coming up over the next several broadcasts. The series we're going into is called Being a Christian While Being on Campus. And the reason we're bringing it your way is because of the real-life issues that Pastor Jack deals with. Being a Christian While Being on Campus has aired right here on Real Radio in the past, and if you did get a chance to hear it, well, you know exactly why we get a lot of requests for it. Also, don't forget that tonight and every Monday night, you can catch our television program called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. We think you're going to like it. It airs every Monday night, 7 o'clock West Coast time on hischannel.com. Real Life with Jack Hibbs, that's a program that features Pastor Jack dealing with all kinds of topics. Events in the news and how we should see them with a scriptural worldview. Developments here in the U.S. and overseas, internationally, including the persecuted church, Islam, Israel. All these topics, Pastor Jack will show us how to handle them biblically. And, of course, studies through the scripture and a whole lot more. You know, Pastor Jack would really like you to check out Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Visit us at hischannel.com tonight, 7 o'clock, and click on Live TV Stream. Or if you happen to miss it, just click on the Video On Demand tab right there at the top of the page, and you can watch recent editions of Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Again, that's hischannel.com. Our telephone number, if you'd like to talk to someone, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.